The Lord will be with us this morning. I'd like to draw your attention to 1 Kings in the 3rd chapter. That's 1 Kings chapter 3, and I want to read verses 5 through 15. The scriptures in 1 Kings chapter 3, starting with verse 5, read as follows. It says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast shewed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great multitude that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. The historical context of the verses that I've just read to you is that Solomon has recently been appointed the throne of a king to be the king of Israel. And the scripture says in the first verse that I read to you that the Lord visited him in a dream and literally talked with Solomon in this dream. You know, a lot of people today believe that in a spiritual interpretation of every dream that they have because of verses like this. They read about how the Lord communicated with Solomon in a dream, and so every dream that they have, they try to spiritualize the dream. We know that in the scriptures that the Lord did visit his people in times past in their dreams. We can go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 20, and we could read about how, if you'll remember, when Abraham took his wife Sarah down into the land of Gerar, that Abimelech took Sarah into his home because Abraham had said that this is my sister. And how did the Lord warn Abimelech? It was in a dream, and he said, "Thou art a dead man, because the woman that you have in your house is her husband." You remember it was a dream, and it was the Lord using that means to be able to talk to his people, and a multitude of examples could be given that when the Lord used that particular means to be able to talk to his people. We remember that Jacob, whenever he was in the land of his uncle Laban, that the Lord visited Jacob in a dream and showed him about how the Lord was, he was going to bless the speckled and the ring straight and the spotted of the cattle that was amongst the amongst Laban's. And he used a dream to show Jacob that he's going to bless these, so choose these to be yours. The Lord uses dreams. You know, I wouldn't tell you as I stand before you today that the Lord would never use a dream to communicate anything to you as one of His dear children here in this world. But I will tell you this, that as we read of a man that received a great blessing in the midst of a dream, and as in telling you that the Lord can and may use that means to be able to connect with you, is that whatever dream that He may use and whatever dream that you may be able to interpret and spiritualize would have to align with the Word of God in order to come from God. In other words, if you have a dream that God says He's going to show you something and do something to you, and that which He says in that dream is completely out of line with the Word of God, then that was not the Lord speaking in that dream. The Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, in the first chapter, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the prophets, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. We have the authoritative Word of God, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself here in this book. And if you ever have a dream, if you ever have a vision, if you ever have a burden that you believe to be from on high, it has to align with anything, with everything that is in this book. Let me give you an example. I've heard of people that I believe that had good intentions of saying the things that they may have said. I've heard of women who believed that they were called to be a minister of the gospel. And they said that the Lord visited me in a dream and called me to be a preacher of the flock, called me to be a minister. You know, as whenever I hear that, I would never sit there and say that's a wicked lady talking. I believe it's somebody who's misinterpreted a something from God, because the Scripture says that a minister of the gospel must be the husband of one wife. The husband must be a man. And so there's no way that the Lord is going to use the means of a dream to interpret, to teach somebody something that His Word does not support. And here you have something that not only that His Word supports, it's something that He encourages all His children to be able to follow. And that is to do just as Solomon did and ask for the things that Solomon asked for, and to live a life according to that which Solomon lived early on in his life. He says, ask what shall be given thee. He says, communicate with me, is what the Lord says in this particular dream at the end of the first verse I read to you. He says, ask what I shall give thee. The Lord here says, communicate with me, Solomon. You show me any relationship that the Lord desires to have. You show me any earthly relationship here in this world, and I'll show you something that can be blessed with communication. And that is that when the Lord has, He gave us the blessing of communication, if we know that through a curse, given all the way back at the book of Genesis and the Tower of Babel, what was his punishment unto those people? He said, you'll not be able to communicate. He gave them Babel in their mouth so that they couldn't communicate with one another. A blessing from on high is to be able to communicate, and that's what the Lord is calling upon a king to do. He says, you communicate with me. Ask and it shall be given thee. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He says, ask what I shall give unto thee. And I tell you, child of grace today, any leader in this world, any man or woman who desires to be any sort of leader here in this world would do well to take heed to the teachings contained in this verse. And that is, they need to communicate with the God on high and the ruler of all this universe. And that is exactly what the Lord is teaching here in the opening verses. He says, you communicate with me. Ask, and I'll give it unto you. You know, you and I have a line, a direct line, unto the owner of all things. He's the richest that there's ever been. He's one that has above and beyond anything that we could ever ask or think here in this world. And He's saying that we need to beckon unto Him. We need to call unto Him. Ask me. Ask what I shall give thee. Communicate with me. Have you ever gotten in a disagreement with one of your loved ones and you desire to solve it? You desire to make it better, but you can't get the person who you're trying to make it right with to communicate to you. You know, that's frustrating, and I don't think I'm the only one who's ever dealt with that. And that is that knowing that I wanted to communicate with somebody, and wanted to talk to him. But yet they turned off their communication and just said, I'm not going to talk to you. As the saying of the world goes, and I know this is cheesy, but it popped into my head. The world says what? Talk to the hand. They immediately turn their communication off. If you want to have a relationship with God in this world, it takes communication through prayer. If you want to have an earthly relationship that is blessed with a husband or with a wife, it takes communication. If you want to have a blessed relationship with your children in this world, it takes communication. You know, a lot of people who suffer because of a failure to communicate with their children and who see their children fall by the wayside, one of the first things that they'll tell you after their children get grown is that they wish that they would have communicated more with their children. They wish that they would have known what was on their mind. And the Lord here is saying, Solomon, you're about to be a king of a great people. Communicate with the God on high. Communicate with the one that is able to bestow what you need and bless this thy people here in this world. And Solomon says, okay, if you're going to call upon me, let me first recognize thy blessings that you gave unto my father. I tell you, we set aside today a day in our society to recognize our daddies in the world today. And that's exactly the way that Solomon starts his approach towards his speech with the God on high. Is he first recognizes his daddy. He first recognizes his father's and the Lord's blessings upon him. And the same would be true and would be a blessing for you and I to do. Is to recognize the Lord's blessings upon our fathers. And then he says, I am but a little child. I tell you, child of grace today, we'd all do well in recognizing just what we are in the eyes of an almighty God. And that's exactly what Solomon did. Solomon, he took heed unto the commandments that the Lord gave him in this dream. And he says, I'm going to communicate with you. I thank you for my daddy. I thank you for your blessings upon him. I thank you for all the things, all the mercy that you showed him throughout his whole life. He says, but I am but a little child. I know not how to come out or to go in. Solomon's humility is something to be observed in this particular dream. We have a dream here where the Lord visits one of his children. We have a communication, an open communication between God and one of his children. And I tell you, child of grace today, can any of us, am I the only one that can remember a time that I felt like I've communicated one-on-one with the Lord and that he's told me something that he desired for me to do? I can remember specific events. I can remember in one time, it's probably been close to, man, has it been that long ago? It's been close to 8 years ago that I can remember driving on an interstate during the middle of the day. And I can remember that overwhelming feeling that came over me where I felt like the Lord was in my midst. And he says, I'm about to have a talk with you. I'm about to straighten you out on something that you need to get right in your life. And this particular one that was standing before you this morning was one that was running from the duty that the Lord, I believe that the Lord had called me to do. And I don't brag about that today. You know, there's some ministers of the gospel who stand before the Lord's people and say, oh, I ran for years because I wanted to have a humble mind about it. I want to tell you, you can have a humble mind about it and still do what God tells you to do. When the Lord speaks unto you and tells you to do something, you need to do it right then. You need to do what God's speaking unto your heart. But this particular one was, I was hard-headed about it, but the Lord visited me. And he said, you better get this right. You're fixing to see your whole house made into a wreck. I believe I communicated one-on-one with my Savior that day. And here you've got Solomon who's communicating, sure it's in the form of a dream. But he says, ask and I shall give it unto thee. Solomon says, I thank you for what my father had. He said, but I am but a little child and I know not how to go out or come in. He says, I need you to bless me, God. And he had the mindset of a humble servant. And that's what the Lord calls upon us to have. Whenever you see a faithful leader and a good leader in Scripture, you see one that is humbled. You see one that exercises that humility. Think back to the days of the judges and the days of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 15. He said, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Hey, you've got a farm boy. A boy out there pressing hay out by the wine press. He's out there hiding the hay from the Midianites so they won't come and take what he's got. He's just a farm boy. Be it the Lord visiting there. He said, wherewithal shall I save Israel? He said, my family is poor in the tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. What was it that David said unto the Lord when the Lord visited him and said, you're going to build a house. Your heir is going to build a house unto me.
He said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast led me hitherto?" Because it's not about us. It's about the Lord's glory. And He chooses His small servants to bring out so that His glory should be revealed in him. Whenever you see somebody, whenever you see a little farm boy like Gideon with a couple of hundred, you remember, have you ever noticed how many he turned away before he went down there and fought with those Midianites? And seen the thousands that he turned away because they didn't drink the water the right way. He turned them away. The Lord said, "You don't need them." But yet he faced with a couple of hundred, he faced thousands of Midianites. And what is our observation? What do we have to conclude by reading about that today is that it was God's blessings upon this boy that he was delivered through the hand of the Midianites. What is it that you and I, whenever we read about Solomon and knowing that he says, "I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or to come in," and know it was not because he was 12 years old, as a lot of Jewish historians try to prove falsely by using Scripture and saying that Solomon was 12 years old at this time. I ask you today, how old does it say in 1 Kings chapter 12, I believe it is, that Rehoboam was whenever he came to rule? It says he was 41. And Scripture says that Solomon ruled for 40 years. So in order for Rehoboam to be 41 whenever he came to rule, and for Solomon to rule 40 years, if you believe that Solomon was only 12 years old at this stage, you believe that he had a child at 11. And I don't believe the Scripture will support that. I don't think he's saying that I am but a little child, I'm but 12 years old, I don't know how to come out and go in. He says, "I am somebody who stands in need of my God to help me lead this great people, to help me be that what you've called me to be." And I tell you, child of grace today, whether you're a daddy, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a song leader, whether you're a mother, no matter what your role is in the service to the Almighty God this morning, you are but a little child and you don't know how to come out and go in. You need God to bless you. And here you've got a man who's willing to say, "God, I need you. I need you." He calls upon his Father which is in heaven. And he says, "I need you. I am but a little child. I know not how to come out or to go in." I tell you, in Matthew chapter 23, we read that the Lord, He told those who followed Him, He said, "You have the same mindset." Go with me over there to Matthew chapter 23 and let's take a look here at the words that the Lord spoke. Because how true they are. I tell you, a lot of people would tell you that so-and-so is a master of this and so-and-so is a master in that. You know, verse 10. It says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." He said, don't let anybody call you a master of anything. And he says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." The greatest in the kingdom of God is the one that's willing to serve the most. When you think back at people in generations past and who pops into your mind as a servant in the kingdom of God and who you remember from years gone by, what were they? They were ones who served. They were ones who prepared tables. They were ones who served in the kingdom of God. And he said that those are the greatest among you, is those that are willing to serve. And he says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted." And I tell you, that's what Solomon was. He was one that he was humbled. But yet the Lord exalted him in the eyes of the people so that they would follow him. So that they would recognize that the Lord's blessed hand was upon this one. You follow him. Solomon recognized that he was one of a great multitude. He says in the next verse back in 1 Kings chapter 3, he says in verse 8, he says, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." He recognizes that he's one of a multitude. A lot of people would say that the old Baptists believe that there's only going to be a few in heaven. No. No. That's not what we believe. Isaiah 10, Jeremiah 5, I believe it's Hosea 9 and Romans 9. If you have a pencil, you can write those in your Bible today. You can go and you can read a verse of Scripture that says, "Though the children of Israel be as the sand of the seashore. Be as the sand of the seashore. Only yet a remnant shall be saved. You said, yeah, that's right, only a remnant's going to heaven. No. Only a remnant get to enjoy the gospel salvation. But the children of God are a great multitude. They're the sands of the seashore. You know, I thought about that verse this past week. Whenever we were seated in sand. If you ever want to get your mind off the fact that you're seated in sand, you can think about something spiritually. You can get you a handful of it in both hands and you can take a look. And you can see then the great multitude of God's people as sand on the seashore. I tell you, there's more children of God. People say, do you believe that there's children of God where there's never been a gospel preacher? Amen and amen. I believe that. And some people say, you don't have Bible to support it. Sure you do. Because if you all you're doing is counting the ones who have received the gospel sermon in this world, there's no way that you're ever going to get the sand on the seashore. There's no way, according to Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 and Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, that they were taken out of every kindred, tribe and people. And that is that they're taken out of all the languages. There's people of God amongst all of them out there. And the only way that you're going to get to the sands on the seashore is if you say that there's a multitude of children of God. And Solomon recognized that there's a multitude more that can do this. The Lord does not stand in need of me in order to be able to accomplish this goal. There's a multitude of people out there. I tell you, child of grace today, it's a just thing to do for us to recognize that God's got an overwhelming number of people. He doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me. You know, one of the best ways that you can teach for somebody to strive to be better at something is for them to understand that a company, a ball team, or anything else is not bound by whether or not they can do something, that there's somebody behind them who can do it just as well. And our discipleship is the same way. And that is that if we're of the frame of mind that the Lord has a multitude of people out here, He can raise up another one. He can bring another one, Solomon. He can bring another one forth to guide His people. He says, I am but a little child. I know not how to come out or to go in. You know, He was one that, even though one thing that you recognize about the life of David being a faithful man unto God, you don't read a whole lot about his parenting skills as far as working one-on-one with his kids. Not a whole lot. You don't read a whole lot about that in Scripture. And here you've got one of his sons that is fixing to take the throne. He says, I don't know anything about being a king. Apparently his daddy never spent that much time with him in the throne room, if you will, to show him what it meant to be a king. And he says, I need you to show me, God. I'm but a small number in the multitude of your children here in this world. He says, I thank you for blessing my father. I thank you for your mercy upon David. I am but a little child and in a small, small speckle of sand in all your family. And I need you to bless me. And the way that I need you to bless me, Solomon asks, for an understanding heart. You think about that just a second. He had anything that he could have asked for, but yet he asked for an understanding heart. He asked for something that would help him serve the Lord's people better. Is that the first thing that would pop into your mind if God came to you and said, you ask me anything and it's yours? It's almost like a, you know, and I question even using this analogy, but I hope you understand that we don't promote this foolishness because we don't believe in it. But I'm sure we've all seen what genies do. You know, they believe in a genie in a bottle. You get a couple of wishes when they come out and they give you what you want. Well, here the Lord visited a man in his dream and he said, you ask whatever I'm going to give you and I'll give it unto you. What would be the first thing that popped into your mind? You got some things you need to pay off? Man, I got some payments that, boy, my month sure would run a whole lot smoother if I could. If I could just pay those things off, I'd have some more money in my pocket. If I could just get some more room in my house, you know, my kids wouldn't get on my nerves so bad because they'd have a little bit more room to run. They'd have a place to send them to like we do. Get out there in the yard whenever once in a while. I tell you, that's a blessing to be able to have a place to tell your children to get to and go play every once in a while. I'm glad. I enjoy seeing children play outside.
You know, they got so many things these days that keep a child trapped inside. And you know, one of the things I believe that's been a curse to the to people. Kids don't know how to play outside. They don't know what to do. But what a blessing it would be to just be able to just open the door and say, "Get outside." That's what my mom and daddy used to say to me whenever I'd run her about out of the house. She wasn't going anywhere, but I was going to go out. I tell you, there's a lot of things that would pop into your mind and say, "God, I want these things." But instead of saying that, Solomon said, "I want what is best for these people that I serve. I want an understanding heart. I want wisdom to be able to lead these thy children. I want what is better for thy people. I want what is better for another. Let every man seek his neighbor and to his edification," is what the Scripture says. "We that are strong then ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." The Lord teaches us to serve others and not our own interest. You know, and not only do we understand that in doing that, the Lord adds to that that we need, but what a great joy it is to serve others and to see others blessed because you were willing to take a little time to serve them. You know, in regards to, he says in verse 9, he says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this?" I got hiccups now. "And thy so great a people." He said, who is able to do it in and of themselves? I need these gifts from you in order to be able to do this. You know, go with me over to the book of James. Hold your place there because I want to come back to this dream. But if we go to the book of James, we can read that James chapter 1 in the 5th verse. The Lord here says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." He says, if you ever find yourself in a bind where you don't know the solution to something, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." He says, "That giveth to all men liberally," which means that he gives it to you openly, "and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." The Lord here is saying, "Ask me, and I'll give it unto you." You know, whenever a child is old enough to learn how to talk, have you ever become frustrated at the fact that they still whine and grunt whenever they want something? And all they do is point. And, you know, if we're seated at our supper table sometimes and there's ketchup or salt and pepper on the other side of the table or tea or anything else, the children who are old enough to talk, they still point and whine. And we'll say, ask what you need. And that's what the Lord here is saying in His Word. He says, you ask. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of me. Ask that the Lord give you what you need. You say, I'm a mother and I need the Lord's discretion and understanding how to treat my sick child. And I tell you, a lot of times we can become, some of you have been removed from having a child for so long, maybe you've forgotten about what it's like for a child to have fever in the middle of the night. And for a child to be diagnosed with this or that. And whenever you know that they stand in need of not only prayers, but they stand in need of a doctor's help. And you say, Lord, give me the wisdom that I need so that I can treat my child. Parents that have children that are teenagers in college and getting married, every once in a while, the child needs advice from a parent. A parent would have to say, Lord, give me the discretion and the wisdom that I need to be able to guide my child in the right direction. What do I need to major in college? What do I need to focus my studies on in my life? And the Lord says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of him. And he says, he upbraideth not. In other words, he's not gonna revile you because he has to give it to you. He has all the wisdom of the world. And he says he'll give it unto you if you'll ask it of God. I tell you, so many times I've hard-headedly tried to charge ahead and tried to figure things out on my own instead of standing still and asking for the Lord's wisdom and guidance in things that I face in front of me. The Lord teaches that there's a time to stand still. You know, if you'll remember when the children of Israel stood at the banks of the Red Sea, that the Lord, He told them through Moses, He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, stand still and see. And every once in a while, instead of charging ahead with a hard head, instead of going on it on our own, if we would stand still and say, Lord, give me the wisdom that I need to guide whoever my loved one is. The wisdom that I need to change my own walk. Not only, you know, I know that a lot of you deal with elderly loved ones. And there's been times that you've had to, you know, make a discerned judgment about treating your elderly loved ones. I tell you, we do well to stand still and to pray that the Lord would give us the wisdom that we need. Give me an understanding heart. How often it is how easier it is to do the solution that's easier for us as opposed to that which makes more sense in the eyes of God. You know, there's times when our children have been sick and faced certain infirmities. And, you know, we had a doctor at one time that we just could not come to an agreement with about how to treat things because it was over-medicated. Oh, and no, I'm not a holistic somebody that doesn't believe in medicine. I believe with all my being that James chapter 5 teaches us that medicine is a gift from on high. And that is that, go with me right there to James chapter 5. We'll read that together as I go through this story. He says in James chapter 5, verse 13 and 14 is what I want to read to you. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Do I believe that here in this day and time that it's profitable for the elders to gather and literally anoint somebody with oil and pray? No. Because I believe that the oil that is listed here in this particular verse is the medicine that they had during that day and time. They had spices and oil was what the pharmacies gave then. And he says, what does that verse teach us? Take the best medicine that you can get and pray as well that the Lord would bless that application of that medicine. And that's exactly what we should do here in this day and time. And the reason why I mention that is I believe in medicine. I'm not somebody who, you know, you read about a family up in Pennsylvania, and I'm not calling anybody, I believe it was up in Pennsylvania, that refused to treat one of their children for cancer because they said that we're not going to use any medicine. All we're going to do is pray. And I tell you, that's not what this scripture says. Sure, there's power in prayer, and the Lord is not bound by the medicine, but the Lord is saying that I'm going to give people here in your midst with a gift to be able to treat this medication. You show me the honor that I deserve in praying to me that I would bless that particular medicine. I believe in medicine, but I also believe that medicine with prayer. And there's been times that whenever something, our children were diagnosed with something and the doctor just overloaded them and overburdened them to the point where they were just drunk silly with whatever medicine. We had to pray that the Lord would discern, give us the discernment to take care of this little child. And a lot of people want to do that to the elderly today. Give them whatever they need so that they just leave me alone. And that's not always the best. The Lord here is saying, if any of you lack wisdom, let him call unto me. I tell you, you and I don't have all the answers, but we pray unto a God that does and that can guide us. And here you've got a wise man, Solomon, who says that he asked for an understanding heart. He said, Lord, I need your discernment upon me to lead thy people. You think about how much better of a country that we would live in if the current leaders that we had made the same beckoning prayer unto God. You know, the scripture teaches us to pray for our leaders. And I tell you, I pray for the Lord to change our leaders' ways so that they would understand who bestows their blessings upon this country. It is not man that blesses this country. It was God that blesses this country. And that's who we stand in need to bless us today. And our leaders should call upon it. When it's something that after our country was attacked on September the 11th of 2001, that all the leaders, everybody believed in God that day. Everybody wanted to gather on the court, on the front steps, and everybody wanted to say a prayer. But I tell you what would they tell the gospel minister today if they said, y'all get out here on these front steps and let's pray? Ooh, no. Offend somebody. Ooh, no. I tell you, there's times when the Lord can suffer things to come on you where you'll know where He's the only one. He's the only one. Notice I didn't say that the Lord causes things. I don't believe He caused it. I believe He suffered it to take place. I believe He suffered this country to receive the things that not only we received that day, but what we continue to receive today. He's suffering. He hates it as much as you and I do.
But he's saying, if you're not going to recognize me for who I am, I'm going to suffer things like this to take place in your midst. But they said, no, they're like the ones in Jeremiah chapter 6 in the 16th verse where the scripture teaches us to walk in the old paths. They said, we will not walk therein. The country of Israel, the people of Israel made the same decision as a whole. They said, we will not walk therein. We will not continue in these ways that the Lord has bestowed His blessings upon in times past. We won't do that anymore. And I tell you, child of grace, today every one of us should have the mindset of Solomon. And that is, give us an understanding heart. Let us call upon your leadership, your guidance in our lives. You know, not only do we see here that the Lord bestowed that blessing upon him. In verse 10 it says, in the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. He says, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. He says, not only if I'm going to give you these things, listen to what he says he's going to give him in it, on top of it, on top of an understanding heart. He says, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And he says, not only riches and honor, the next verse says that if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days. He says, I'll give you riches, I'll give you honor, I'll give you your long life. You know, I'm tempted to ask the question, who wouldn't want these things to be bestowed upon them? You know, me, I'm not one that's ever been concerned with that long of a life, but I may change whenever I get older. You know, I made somebody awful mad at my office one day. I don't know why, but I've sort of just always, I've just had in my mind that I was going to go to my Lord early in life. I don't know why. I had the age, in my mind, about 60 years old. And you know, they had a cake for me at the office one day whenever I turned 30. And I told them, I said, yeah, I said, I believe this is my halfway point. And I'm going to tell you, one of the women in there was older than 60. And I'm going to tell you what, she laid her cake down and she went back to her desk. And she said, are you calling everybody over 60? Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just saying that was mine. I'm not saying that anybody above that was on borrowed time. I'm just saying that was mine. But he says, I'm going to give you these things. He says, I'm going to give you riches and honor and length of life because you've asked for things that are going to glorify me. And that's what God does. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. He gives us more because what we seek, if what we seek is for His glory, He gives us more. We serve a great God. Solomon here, he's manifesting His presence and a visit from Him so that Solomon will know what a great God he's in service to. I believe Solomon understood it better after this visit. I don't think that it's something that Solomon didn't understand before, but I believe he understood it better. I believe he had a better understanding of the great God that he served whenever he got a visit in his dream from a God that says, pray unto me. Pray unto me. Ask Him what I shall give unto thee. I believe he had a better understanding whenever he showed his humility in the eyes of God and said, I stand in need of you. I am but a little child. I know not how to come out or to go in. He says, I'm just a piece of sand in the multitude of thy people as sand on the seashore. I need a discerning heart. And the Lord said, okay, I'm not only going to give you a heart of understanding, I'm going to give you riches and honor and length of life. I'm going to lengthen your life. I'm going to give you all these things and more. I'm going to give you these things that you stand in need of. You know, I like what Solomon's response was to this message from God. I like what Solomon did, and it's in the last verse. I believe I like what Solomon did because I believe it's exactly the same that you and I should do. Every time that we're blessed to be able to open up God's Word and get a little bit of revelation from on high, a little bit more knowledge about who our God is, what should our response be? I tell you, I believe Solomon, he set the precedent right here for a precedent, not precedent, for a worship service. For just a good old Baptist worship service. What does it say he did in verse 15? And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. It says he made an offering. Whenever you read in God's Word that there's times when the Lord blesses one of His servants, what do? They offer sacrifice. They say, because the Lord gave me this, I'm going to sacrifice. And that's what that's what you and I do today. Because the Lord has done this to us, we're going to sacrifice and offer our... And no, we're not literally offering peace offerings and offering lambs upon a burnt altar. We're offering ourselves. And according to Romans chapter 12, He says that to offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Not a dead sacrifice. That is, we're offering ourselves unto the service of the Lord. And He says that He made a feast unto all His servants. He said, come with the joy that's in my heart. Let me enjoy this time with you. You know, to be bitter in this world is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Solomon here shows us what it means to to recognize our blessings from our Father. You know, when we're bitter with other people, we're only revealing what we are with the Lord. You understand that? When you're bitter with others, you're not really bitter with somebody else. Really bitter with the Lord. But when you're joyous with others, what are you revealing? You're joyous with the Lord. You're rejoicing with what God has given you. You're recognizing that God has done all these things for you. He came and He said, y'all just bring the offerings. Let's offer them. Let's offer the thousands of thousands. If we read back at the beginning of this chapter, we would read that he was one that offered thousands. In verse 4 it says, for that was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. You believe that Solomon literally offered thousands? I believe he literally offered thousands upon that altar. I believe with the joy that he had in his heart for his service unto the Lord, he said, keep bringing the offerings. Keep bringing the offerings. Let's keep offering them unto the Lord. That's the way we should be with our bodies. That is, I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep rejoicing. I'm going to keep enjoying the feast that the King has prepared for me. And that's what his servants did that day. They came to a feast. He made a feast for all his people. I tell you, there was one trait that my daddy had growing up. Is, buddy, whenever he was happy, he loved to feed. I can remember we would have a, and I don't say this to lift him up, but I believe he was, and a lot of people say, well, he'll hear it on the message. No, he won't. They're getting fed in their churches down there now, so they don't listen anymore on here. I used to, whenever I'd say something about my mom and daddy, know that they're going to hear it eventually on the recording and download it, but they don't listen. They don't download them much anymore. But I can remember being blessed with years on the farm where the Lord had bestowed such a great blessing upon our place of employment that, you know, around Christmas time, every night we deliver 50 hams a night to just the neighbors around us up there. And we'd go and we'd knock on the door and we'd say, Merry Christmas. And they'd be like, why is this? You know, I didn't have an understanding of it at the time. All I understood then was that we was getting chased by dogs and had grease all over our hands. But I look back on it now, and what it was men who were blessed from on high by God sharing their joy with others. That's what Solomon is doing here in this verse. He says, I'm offering this as my joy for what God has done for me. Isn't that what our worship service is about? We're offering unto God what our joy is and what we rejoice in this day. That's the reason why we not only come together to worship, that's the reason why we break bread together. It's all in a time of rejoicing for what God has done for us. You know, I believe if Solomon would have just kept this same mindset, oh, what a different story that we'd be reading about throughout the rest of the book of Kings, the 2 Kings, the 2 Chronicles. We'd be reading about a different path that Israel would be on. But he didn't keep that mindset. He didn't continue in that wisdom that he even wrote about in the book of Proverbs. You know, as we read in the opening verses of the book of Proverbs, the scripture teaches us that particular book was written to give us wisdom and instruction. And how many times throughout that particular book we read of the warnings of the strange woman? But Solomon didn't heed to his own warnings. And he failed to that. And his country went down with him. And may the Lord bless us to continue in joy and rejoice together in the blessings that God has given us. He's done exceeding abundantly. If you're blessed to be able to look around this church house today and see ones that you love, he's not exceeding abundantly. If you're blessed to go home with a roof over your head, with loved ones that pray for you, with food on your table, he's not exceeding abundantly. Let us come forward and offer ourselves.
a living sacrifice in our continued service to the Lord and rejoice in the things that God has done for us.